Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the comfort which we have in our life. We thank you for putting us right here, right now in history and in America. Please guide and direct us so that we may fulfill our godly purpose. And for this, we ask for your grace and protection. And Lord, please watch after our loved ones. In Jesus' name, amen. I have a lot of thoughts when I look at where we are today. I see the circumstances of our lives and just where things might be heading. When we look around, we see a direction that we are going. We see that the power around us wants to contain and control us, and our freedom is becoming less and less. And we are quietly agreeing with that direction, because we believe that it is best for us. I recognize that direction because I have read plenty of firsthand accounts, and I have both friends and family who have lived under and visited people who have lived under a totalitarian government. I have seen the pain and the poverty which are always a part of that system. Therefore, I do not want to have anything like that here in our country. In many countries, we can see that there are forces that they're at work to have its citizens turning into essentially a slave force, even a workforce. And the forces behind those slaveries want to contain and control all the peoples, including us. They want to turn our society and our nation into a brand new thing. History shows us that there are a few people who want to have complete power over other people. They are the rulers or the kings, and they want to have complete power over their subjects. And that is the example after example in history all over the world. And because of America's strong history of freedom, we pretty much do not believe it could happen here, that we in America could lose our freedom and in effect become slaves. Well, history shows that just about every people have been subjugated or enslaved, even though they thought themselves would be strong enough or smart enough that they could or would not be contained, or they would not be controlled, they would not be enslaved. But world history tells a different story. And by the way, we in America cherish our founding documents. The Declaration of Independence is key. The Constitution is very good, and the Bill of Rights are essential. Our First Amendment right to communicate and speak openly with our opinion is very key, and that right is being infringed upon, right along with the ability to freely worship God. Well, we are getting restrictions about worshiping God, and we're not allowing, well, there was a time when we didn't allow songs to be sung in church, and you just have to wonder, are things going to ease up, or are things going to become more restricted? Well, it just makes me think of the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment was put into place to protect all of our other rights from an overreaching, tyrannical government. And that just reminds me of that human rights advocate, Yanomi Park. She recently said that the country which she escaped from, North Korea, that is, and she now lives in America, but she said that if 30% of the North Koreans were armed, there would not be a tyrannical leader like the dictator Kim Jong-un in North Korea. But the people of North Korea are kept in a starving condition and have no means to resist a tyrannical Kim government. And on the Christ Today broadcasts, I do try not to repeat, but I will repeat this that I said a few months back. It's the Teitler cycle. Alexander Teitler was a history professor in Scotland in the mid-1700s. He had closely observed history, and ever since ancient history, societies have gone through that cycle. And some nations or countries have a shorter cycle, and some have a longer cycle of years. But on average, the full cycle lasts just over 200 years. The cycle, he observed, goes from bondage to liberty to abundance and then back to bondage, all in over 200 years. Here is the Teitler cycle, specifically from bondage to spiritual faith, from spiritual faith to great courage, from great courage to liberty, from liberty to abundance, from abundance to complacency, from complacency to apathy, from apathy to dependence, from dependence back to bondage, all in just over 200 years. And today it has been 240 years, a little over, since our Declaration of Independence. And I wonder where America might be in the Teitler cycle. What are you ready for? Well, we do not want bondage, right? So, what are the next conditions? Well, it's just something to be aware of. Again, spiritual faith, from bondage to spiritual faith, to courage, to liberty, abundance, complacency, apathy, and back to dependence. And where are we here? And bondage is the next one. So, if the cycle is true, do you think that we Americans will have the courage to stand for our Christian faith and our freedom? I just wonder if one day we will be telling our children or grandchildren that we remember how once, not that long ago, we had, well, whatever it was. Well, we could completely fill a church and no one had to wear a mask. Or how once kids went to school and they all played together at recess. Do you think America will ever be like that again? Well, for a nation to decay, it does not take long. In fact, a decay can happen in just one generation, or even just a very few years. In fact, there have been several famous politicians around the world that have said that every society is 3 meals away from revolution. Yeah, Russia's Vladimir Lenin was one of the people who said that, and so was our president, Ronald Reagan. He pretty much said that. The principle is well understood. And in the last 20 or 30 years, other people have said about the same thing. See, it's kind of changed a little bit where some people say, we are 9 meals away from anarchy. Well, I don't agree with that, but I do recognize that there is a basic truth to it. After all, if parents get very unhappy when their children are crying because of hunger. Yeah, and yet look at what's going on in the world. Look at the world. Look at the pain that's going on because children are going hungry and adults are going hungry. Look at third world countries that were locked down and people starved in those countries. Or you could look at America. We got locked down and masked up, and we politely complied, even when the scientific researchers really and truly did not agree that it was an effective way of stopping a virus. Do you remember being told just a couple of weeks would flatten the curve? And that turned into months, and businesses are still closed all over the place, all over our country. We are killing our economy. We are killing our jobs. And just look around and see how many stores have permanently closed. How many manufacturing plants have permanently closed? Where are our jobs going? What's happening in school? The children, our children, are forgetting how to be in school and how to learn, how to do homework. And the world is going through many tensions all because of this. So there is being created a number of distractions. It can be fears. It can be concerns. It can be fantasies. We see, for instance, the lumber prices going up dramatically, several times their normal prices. We see gas prices going up, creeping upward. And many people are saying that there has to be big inflation because of the money printing that America is doing. And that's not just in America. The whole world is printing money, and the whole world is running short of certain resources. And so we're kind of wondering what's going to happen. There are difficulties that we can see are going to confront us, and everyone can escape into an illusion, into a fantasy world. And there's plenty of people that have been doing that, and it appears there are more people that are going to. A fantasy world where you can do absolutely whatever you want that you can imagine. Can you imagine what it means to let people fantasize without any limits, or especially without any moral constraints? Well, maybe you can tell me, do you really think that people will be able to contain their fantasy to the virtual reality fantasy world? Or maybe they will act out in real life and live in their own world without, or I should say within, they would live within this world and without moral restraints. Restraints which God provides, which family provides, which society provides. And then we see the difficulties of a collapsing society. And what comes about? Well, I expect more people will seek to escape into a fantasy world. And I just wonder if that fantasy world would become more appealing than our real world. And then for us, the question would become, how would we present the gospel of Jesus Christ who live in a fantasy world? I mean, in life, there's enough of a lack of reality, but when you live in that fantasy world, it becomes extreme. So, you know, we know that there is a certain sequence of events that have been in history. You know, God Jesus said he would come, and he did. He said he would die on the cross, and he did. He said he would resurrect, and he did. And he said he would return. So get ready! Yes, but that's in a real world that we look at with real things going on around us and with history. And then we could wonder what would happen if a person lived in a fantasy world and then they had to be faced with a real crisis like a war or an antichrist system or a collapsed economy. What would happen if our U.S. dollar became worthless? Which, by the way, I am hearing from more and more financial people that that's going to happen. So we do have some real problems, and too many of us don't want to address how to solve any problems, none at all. And the younger generation of people don't want to even look at the problems facing our society and our world and our monetary system or what would happen next. So who will be able to deal with those problems? Well, people like certain authorities, the government, of course. There are bankers and business people and landlords. Or we could look to an international body of, I guess you could call them leaders, and they would tell us that they have the answers. And then what? Do you think we would believe them? Well, they would be happy to tell us what to do because we have not had much practice at solving the problems that just might be coming about right in front of us. And too many people are not guided by biblical principles anymore. In fact, I am amazed that so many young people and older people don't have any spiritual or moral guidelines. Instead, the whole question is, what do you want to do? What do you want to do at that moment? Well, if that's your philosophy, It's not headed towards a good place. It's headed, sounds to me, like that wide road to hell. So, have you wondered how you would tell those people of the good news about the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ will forgive your sins if you repent and are born again, etc.? Well, I have wondered, how do we fulfill our mission and our purpose on life by spreading the good news of the gospel? Well, I suppose the first step is to pray to God and ask the Holy Spirit to guide us. and make sure that everything we do is aligned with the biblical principles that include love. And I think of love as, and what love means is wanting that which is best for the other person. And to me, it is that the other person would know the love of Jesus and then freely choose to follow Jesus, who loves them. And our nation has had a history of wanting to spread the love of Jesus to the world. Often that has been through missionaries who mostly did a very good job. But, you know, there are those who oppose Christ, and they tell very loudly about the missionaries who messed up. Well, my friends, let us focus on what is good and what is righteous. So, yes, be aware of the bad, but focus on the good. You know, there's a lot of people who have done things out of principle, and I think of World War II, how many Americans fought and died so that others could have freedom and not live under a tyrannical government. 291,000 American soldiers died in World War II, so that both Americans and others around the world could have freedom. In the Civil War, 620,000 soldiers died. 320,000. Ah, that's 360,000 from the North and 260,000 from the South, for a total of 620,000 soldiers. All because of the rights. They wanted to keep rights and have general freedom, and slavery was also a part of that. You could even say that hundreds of thousands of free white men fight and died so that 4 million black slaves could be set free. And of course, there is more to this that can be said, and that would take a whole semester to look at. But the point is, we have been a nation that has wanted freedom for ourselves and for others for so long. And so our soldiers have died. And by the way, when soldiers die, civilians always die in much, much higher numbers. Like in that Civil War, 620,000 soldiers died. However, there was starvation and disease among civilians. And plenty of historians are now agreeing on the number of between 6 and 7 million civilians died from that Civil War. So, yeah, soldiers die and so do civilians. We don't want a civil war, well, not anywhere, not in our country either. War is hell, and that's what General MacArthur said. There's been many other soldiers in history that have said that. They've said, war is hell. That goes back to the Greek and Roman times. Generals all through time have said that. And now there is talk that we might be having an American Civil War again. Huh. Yeah, I talked about that on the March 6th broadcast. And we want to be extremely careful about what that could mean for our country. Yep, there are people who say that it would be in line with God's justice, if we faced a calamity due to the, 60 plus or 70 million U.S. abortions. So I think that's a question, And the wise thing to do is to pray for mercy. Yes, pray for mercy. Because otherwise there could be a whole lot of trouble. And in times of trouble, people just always seem to seek someone to take care of them. And sure, we turn to God, and we also turn to political leaders who promise to give us whatever it is we want. But God has given us so much, and it is up to us to maintain it. He's given us freedom and an ability to use our brains to keep freedom and to keep alive. Here in America, we have good soil, our bodies are good, and we want to make a good life for ourselves as we work and live. You remember Genesis chapter 3, where Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and so in order to eat and live, Adam had to work and sweat. That's kind of a theme here, isn't it? Yeah, it is. It is the consequences of disobeying God. That's what Adam did. And so today, we are a part of Adam's lineage, and so we are also affected by this. The themes, the principles in the Bible, they go throughout time and they continue. They remain true. It includes how in ancient Israel, men were free, and then men needed judges to determine what was the most righteous decisions for people who disagreed. And then what happened was the people of ancient Israel wanted a king over them, and so God gave them King Saul. And Saul did provide protection, but then he took the people's money in the form of taxes, and Saul took the sons for his army, and Saul took the daughters to run his household. So throughout time, there has been a similar condition that has happened as the king or the dictator. Well, he makes promises, and he wants his needs met. And so the king or the dictator tells the people that he will give them what they want if they just give him power. Yeah, that has certainly happened through history. And that's no different from what's going on today. It's just a little more hidden. It's harder to see, but it is just as true. You know, after 9/11, the American people were so very concerned, and so Congress passed the Patriot Act that gave government much more power. And they promised, that Patriot Act promised to keep we the people safe. Promises. And after that, Obama promised hope and change that we could believe in. And how did that turn out? And President Trump promised to drain the swamp and build the wall. How did that turn out? And now, President Biden, there were a few campaign promises, but I will go with Build Back Better, because that goes along with what the leaders of so many other countries have said for their own campaign election slogan. Build Back Better is, at its heart, a cry out or demand for a new world order. And it implies the destruction of the old order, and then a new order would be formed, which, according to that very elite group, the World Economic Forum, It means we will own nothing and we will be happy. you won't own your bicycle. The bicycle that you use to go to work will be a community bicycle for which you put your card in the reader, and then you can take that bicycle to work. And if that bike gets damaged, I guess you're going to pay for that damage. With the cameras everywhere, it could record whatever you or someone else did to that bike while you had it. Well, I just think of the people of China, how much that sounds like the people of China, where they are watched and recorded, and they can take that community bike to work. Yeah, China is watched and recorded, and they are making giant leaps forward in analyzing people's actions and facial expressions. And then they classify each person as either normal or of concern or dangerous. And they do check their work, the results, but after the initial examination of their facial expression, the citizen would then be analyzed. They might check their phone calls or their purchases or their friends or their social media accounts to determine if that person is a threat, and that means a potential terrorist. Well, and now China is exporting or selling that AI, artificial intelligence technology, to dozens of countries around the world to track those citizens. And to understand more about who that person is that the artificial government or the government or the artificial intelligence wants to investigate, they are getting that more and more refined. So people have learned to do that. People, I mean, just ordinary people, like every one of us, we have learned to recognize the unconscious indicators that a person is doing when they talk. And it's communication without words. When a person squints, when a person opens their mouth, or their opens their eyes wide, or looks away, or something, there is something in the communication that is going on that we people can recognize and understand what is being communicated by those facial expressions. And that is what artificial intelligence is learning to recognize and understand and categorize people because of. And again, that technology is being studied and studied by China, and then it is being exported to other countries who want to monitor their citizens also and find out who the troublemakers are. Well, you think that it can't happen here? I think it can't not happen here, except there are people who do. And those people have made examinations of what is going on in the United States. For instance, have you ever looked into the existence of internment camps in America? They have existed for decades. There are barracks in them, you know, with lots and lots of single bunks, and they're all surrounded by barbed or concertina wire. And you know why it's called concertina wire? Because if you ever get caught in it, you will sing like you were in a concert. What a world we live in. Who invents this stuff anyway? Who thought of a name like that? Well, the people with experience. There's things that happen that we just don't think they can happen. Look back to 9/11. Who would have thought that could have happened? Except in the days leading up to 9/11, there were very, very many military drills of our U.S. military, and they were concerning or anticipating a terrorist attack by a plane coming into America and potentially hitting buildings. So who would have thought? But that was a scenario that was looked into, and then it happened. And who would have thought that coronavirus could have happened? Except months before it hit us, John Hopkins, for one, wrote about a virus that occurred by being transmitted from bats to humans. And yes, it came from one of those Asian countries. So who would have thought? Who would have thought? There are people who think of these things, and it doesn't mean that it's a plan, but you ought to not forget that it might be a plan. Well, I'm so glad that we have those vaccines for the corona COVID virus now, except that they are not FDA approved, and in fact, they are listed as experimental vaccines, which, according to our law, the manufacturers have no liability for those vaccines. No matter how harmed you are, if it is death or discomfort or whatever it is, autoimmune diseases, by law, you cannot sue the manufacturer. And these are experimental vaccines. And so, what do you expect from an experiment? By the way, you are the experiment if you take one of those vaccines. And these vaccines, in effect, affect your RNA and your DNA, which will affect your children and grandchildren forever. It's just something. There was a point a few months ago, was it 6 months or 5 months ago, that 30-40% of medical personnel were refusing to have that vaccine because they recognized the problems with it. And now the vaccine has been mandatory to keep the job that they have, and so the medical personnel who are now refusing that vaccine has dropped to between 10-20%. Do you think it could have something to do with being mandatory to keep their job? Yes, of course. Early in life, I was vaccinated. The vaccine was for mumps. And when I was 20, I got mumps, and my doctor was surprised. Yeah, but he recognized mumps immediately and immediately sent me to the hospital, which I did go to, and I recovered after, five days. And I don't know, maybe vaccines have something in them that we do not expect. Don't know. But it's certainly something. It is as if people who are getting the Corona COVID vaccine by the thousands are getting something they did not expect. And the doctors are saying that the experimental vaccine affects different people differently. And then, sorry about your bad luck. We didn't not mean for you to get affected or for you to die. After all, we were just following orders. Well, not orders, but the CDC guidelines. So, yeah, sorry about your luck. I don't know. We all are free to make choices. And I have heard plenty of people say they are relying on God to protect them from the harm the vaccine might do. And I would say watch out for that one, because you are making your own free will decision if you're getting that vaccine. So, God's will? I don't know. Are you asking God to protect you from something that you chose of your own free will? Well, be careful with that one. I think it's a pretty big question. And when we do things of our own free will, we do think of the worldly system we are involved with. And is God going to protect us from our choices that are free will choices? I don't know the answer, but I do wonder about it. And I know that whatever it is, I surely do want to stay in God's will. So let's do our very best to stay in God's will. And how do we do that? Our very best? Are you kidding? We often think, oh, well, we can slide by with just a little bit of a miss here and a little bit of a miss there. Well, no. I urge you to completely follow and stay in the will of God. Completely. I know that God has consequences and judgments for things, and we certainly don't like when there are hard consequences, but we get them. I know I have. We do pray for God's mercy. We are thankful that we have an eternal covering of Jesus for our next life. And we are grateful for God's forgiveness of our sins when we repent of them and when we are born again in the Spirit. Yes, it's lovely. We need to be covered with the covering of Jesus so that the Father, when he looks at us, he does not see our sins. Instead, he sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's amazing and wonderful. How wonderful. And somehow there's things that happen differently in this life and things that happen differently in the life to come. And we get to search it out and understand it, make choices and live with what we understand to be the best. I think I will say just a little more about where our world is headed. We are going into the beast system. And why do we know that? Because the Bible tells us. And we just don't know the timing of when the beast system is coming. And it could be quick, and it could be slow. But we do see things lining into place, lining up. There are pieces of technology that are just coming right in line, and we know that it has to happen, but we people, us regular people, still do not know the timing of the future events. Well, we know that in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, the devil, in one form or another, it's shown that he will demand to be worshipped. That's in Revelation 13:4. And so they worship the beast. And in Revelation 13:6, and then he, the beast, blasphemed against God. And 2 Thessalonians 2:4 gives some further explanation, saying, "He, the devil, will oppose and exalt himself against all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself to be God." And this verse is why some people will say that the return of Jesus can't happen yet, because this verse needs to be fulfilled first. Well, some people say this, and some people say that, and I will let you make up your own mind about what order the events have to come in. But I do want you to know that in Israel, there is a group called the Temple Institute that has everything, every little thing that is needed to make the next temple complete and operational. And they have it so that it could happen at a moment's notice. And I've heard this for several years now, that the stone blocks to build the next temple are all made and stored in a nearby lot. And it is possible to have the next temple built and operational in 30 days. Well, that's what some say. Another thing that people say is needed to have a proper temple is a perfect red heifer. That is the ashes from a red heifer for ceremonial cleansing. And there never was the perfect red heifer for years and years. But now, for just a couple of years, there has been the perfect red heifer that has been examined and approved by the biblical appropriate Cohen priests. So now, as far as I know, there are no further barriers to the last temple being built and operational in Jerusalem. Also, the old temple site, which is the Dome of the Rock, is about 700 feet away from David's temple, and it is believed by many that the site of the new temple will be David's temple, and therefore it will not have to interfere with the Dome of the Rock. So the temple could be built very quickly now. But it's an important matter to look into, and I do hope that you look into it for yourself if it's important to you, because there's a lot to learn. But it just looks to me like it surely could be built quickly, immediately almost. Oh, a minute ago I touched on, or a couple of minutes, I touched on technology, and I think about the technological era we are in right now. I think about how the very recent blockchain technology is almost in practice and in effect. We're ever so close to it, and that would just be keeping track of everything. And that makes the mark of the beast technology ever so close. That would mean that everything that you would buy or sell is known to the system, and apparently it is allowed or not allowed. Well, with everything known to the system, it means everyone becomes an open ledger or an open book to anyone with the authority to look. So, your unique code will be essential to access this blockchain system of technology. And it just means we are yet another step closer to those very end time scriptural events. And perhaps you think that it could not happen here in the United States because we're a free country. Oh, think again. See, in the United States, we have a population of 330 billion people, and both China and India each have four times the U.S. population in their countries. And, you know, in both of those countries, they have done some real amazing things with money, with currency, with almost eliminating all currency, all. And that effectively means that every single transaction by every citizen and every visitor to those two countries are tracked and recorded. So that sounds like the beast system of not being able to buy and sell without the secret code, the blockchain technology. I don't know, but I wonder about it. I just mean to say, we are closer than it appears. How close? Good question, but it's close. And it could easily happen here in the United States. Without saying when, it just could arrive quickly. And you remember how the U.S. dollars suddenly came out of nowhere and we had new hundreds, new 20s, new all of it. It could happen overnight without our citizens being aware of it. So just always think about what could happen, and are you really prepared for what could happen? I just think it's reasonable to have some supplies on hand for the just in case, for your family, for those who you love. Have some of those just in case supplies on hand, because we certainly don't know what could happen. Prepare with water and food and warmth and a Bible for each person. Often I think of a hymnal also. Hymnals are important. Songs and music has always been something that has put a little touch of joy in people. So, yes, do look at all those things and look at what's going on. We have a system where things are going on. We have money being distributed directly into our bank accounts by the Fed and the U.S. Treasury. See, we are getting our $1,400 payments now by direct deposit. You know that that stimulus money, that stimulus package that Congress just approved and we the people are paying for. By the way, about a quarter of that is going to the people, and three quarters of it is going to everything else, like pension plans and libraries and building projects and Planned Parenthood and schools and cities and states and pension plans. Okay, so all these things, the money that Congress has allocated is going to so many other places than that $1,400 stimulus payment. And we are going to pay for it all. Don't forget that. And probably we're not going to collapse because of it. It's just that our debt continually increases. Jay Powell says that he will not let economic recovery plans be slowed down any, and he will keep interest rates low until the economy starts to recover. So there are questions, there are things that certainly going on, and we, the citizens, are paying for it. Paying for it. Yes, we are. And for that, just, well, look at what's going on and keep yourself as safe as you possibly can. And I do mean economically safe. Sure, there's things that are going on with other preparedness thoughts, and we can always remember that to think about loving other people and keeping God's love close to our heart so that we are able to love other people and show compassion for others. That is what we want to do. I think that's what we are called to do. But we do have to deal with things of the world, like, yes, the stimulus money, like, yes, our national debt, and probably a collapsing money system, which will also collapse our society. And so what do we do? Well, we think about preparing. And we can all be preppers in a way. Now, preparation is in all different people, all different ways. And people can be married or single or handicapped or with any kind of limitations and still be a prepper. There's always ways to prepare. And a community can always use all sorts of people. And remember the importance of prayer throughout all of this. For when tough times come, have some skills that you can use and rely on for maybe food preparation, maybe helping other people, maybe medical things. Just remember, if these things come about, we Christians could very well be a persecuted people. We could have our electricity and our phones shut off. That's what has happened in other countries where persecution has happened. And then think of John 15:20, where it says, if they will persecute me, they will persecute you. Continue to think about it. Continue to pray about it. And if you would like to get my preparedness pamphlet, by all means, send me a stamped self-addressed envelope to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And always remember the love of God and sharing that with other people. That is a part of the gospel, and we want to be faithful to Jesus Christ as we ask for God to walk with us, as we walk with God, and God walks with us. It's a wonderful thing. Let's pray for each other. Certainly I pray for you, and let us pray for the many other people who are having a wide variety of troubles in this world. There's times to do and act and help people, and there's times when praying is the first step. God bless you. There is no greater story. The Holy Spirit burn inside me. Give me passion that pours out to everyone.